Welcome to the Jam Pack Report today for September 3rd of 2023. I'm Jam Pack Sam, and welcome to Starfield Week, because the game is just days away for everybody. Early access people are already diving in, and the reviews are here. So on today's show, we're going to be seeing what the critics have to say. On top of that, Embracer Group has closed Volition Studios, the teams behind Saints Row and Red Faction, and they have layoffs at Gearbox Publishing. And also, Pete Hines says Redfall could be a good game eventually. Without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into it. Starting things off, we have the review roundup for Starfield. And before we get into the ratings themselves, I cannot stress enough that this is a huge game. And I'm not just talking about how vast the game itself actually is, because Starfield is significant not only for Bethesda Game Studios, but also for Xbox and for the gaming industry as a whole. Any kind of Bethesda game is going to be making massive waves, regardless of whether it's the best game they've ever made or not. And I say that it's massive for Xbox because this is the game that they need to hit. This is the game that they need to perform well so that it can start this new future for Xbox. Because up until this point in the generation, the games that have landed from Xbox first-party studios have not exactly turned the tide. They have not exactly proven that Xbox is back in full force. I mean, we had Halo Infinite, that is a great Halo game, but when it landed, didn't really do what it needed to do for the franchise. We have games like Forza that are always good, Gears is missing in action, Redfall landed earlier this year with a thud, a resounding thud at that, and so now we have Bethesda Game Studios' first new game in 25 years. The creators of Fallout and Elder Scrolls are creating something new that is only available on Xbox. This is the moment that they needed to land. This is the game that needed to be good, and for a lot of people, it absolutely is. Heading over to GameSpot first, they gave the game a 7 out of 10, saying when you strip Starfield down to its essentials, it relies on a tried and true but well-tread formula while missing some of the depth of the games that came before it. Starfield is a game more concerned with quantity than quality and leaves the experience at surface level. Now, on the flip side of that, VGC gave the game a 5 out of 5, with Jordan Midler saying Starfield is undoubtedly an experience that players will stick with for years to come. It's content rich in a way that's rare in modern gaming, and exactly the experience the people who've been hoovering up different versions of Skyrim for years have wanted. It doesn't truly reinvent the wheel with its mechanics, but almost everything it does so well, and that's a truly engrossing experience. Game Informer gave it an 8.5 out of 10, saying it took me a long time to fall in love with Starfield, and even after I did, certain aspects didn't work for me. But the things I didn't enjoy are vastly outweighed by my enthusiasm for this new original science fiction universe, the breadth of its adventures, and the appeal of its many interwoven stories. Go in with the expectation that it will take some time to find your footing in such a vast gameplay space, and there's a universe well worth discovering here. Finally, IGN gave it a 7 out of 10, saying Starfield has a lot of forces working against it, but eventually the allure of its expansive role-playing quest and respectable combat make its gravitational pull difficult to resist. So, all over the place right now, it's currently got 88 on Metacritic, 88 over on OpenCritic, and 94% of critics recommend playing the game. And once again, looking at these reviews, IGN gave it a 7, Game Informer gave it an 8.5, GamesRadar gave it a 5 out of 5, Destructoid gave it a 10 out of 10. If there is anything those reviews can tell you, it is that you need to check out Starfield for yourself. Whether it's through Game Pass later on this week, whether it's through going in with the Early Access Premium Edition of the game, or picking it up 5 years from now, whenever it's $20 in the bargain bin, whatever you need to do, you've got to form your own opinion on some of these things, especially in a year like 2023. Because no matter what happens, you are going to be seeing Starfield compared to Baldur's Gate 3. You are going to see Starfield compared to Diablo 4. You are going to see Starfield compared to even the likes of Spider-Man 2 I've seen online. The conversations that are going to be had on social media are going to be all over the place. And so you got to put the phone down. You got to get off of the laptop, the computer. Go play the games. See if you enjoy them. Check out some gameplay for yourself. And by gameplay, I mean trailers, any kind of gameplay, long form play, whatever you want to do. Watch a stream on Twitch. You've got to make your own observations. Because I see a ton of groupthink in the comment sections of the videos that I put out on Starfield. or people that haven't even gotten into the game yet are saying that it's flopped. They're saying this isn't what they hoped it would be. They're saying, whoop, looks like I'm not getting this one. You're looking at little small snippets of the gameplay. You're seeing what other people think about the game and forming your own opinion. You've got to go in with an open mind with some of these things. Because just because Starfield might not be for you doesn't mean that it's not for somebody else, and vice versa. And the same thing with Baldur's Gate 3 being good. That doesn't mean that Starfield is less of a game because Baldur's Gate 3 is so good. They're two different games bringing two different experiences. That applies to everything in this industry. And so, looking at the Starfield reviews once again, is this where they needed to land? Is an 88 on Metacritic where Starfield needed to land? For Xbox, for Bethesda Game Studios, for the game in general? I think this hit the mark with an A minus at the very least. I think this is a passing grade. I think that from the commentary I'm seeing from my friend groups and Discords and on Twitter and things like that, Starfield is landing for a lot of people, and it is another new Bethesda game that is going to be a good Bethesda game. Some people are saying this is the best game since Oblivion. That's a pretty big statement to make. So with those kind of impressions coming in, Starfield has a bright future ahead of it. And keep in mind, the game is technically not even out yet. There are patches on the way, there are optimizations on the way, there's plenty of good stuff coming for Starfield. But if you've checked it out, let me know down below, are you enjoying the game? And if you haven't gone in yet, do you plan on diving in? Next up, we have some bad news to get into. Embracer is continuing the cuts we heard about earlier in the summer, this time hitting Gearbox Publishing and Volition Games entirely. We'll get into that more in a moment, but starting off at GameDeveloper.com from Justin Carter, who writes, according to former staffers' LinkedIn profiles, a series of layoffs have reportedly been conducted at Gearbox Publishing. Former employees throughout the summer and as recently as this week revealed they were let go from the publishing arm of the Borderlands developer. Quote, no one saw it coming, but my contract and those of my colleagues who started in June had to be terminated, wrote translator Alan Jack Mart in June. We were simply victims of the group's restructuring, end quote. Gearbox is a subsidiary of Embracer, which said at the start of the summer it would cut jobs after spending so much money to acquire various studios and properties. The layoffs, and by extension, the projects canceled and affected studios, have been made in response to a reported $2 billion deal with Savvy Games that collapsed back in May. At the start of August, Embracer shut down Danish studio Campfire Cabal, and earlier today announced the closure of Volition. In 2015, Gearbox began to publish games from third-party studios, with its debut title being the 2016 remaster of People Can Fly's Bulletstorm. Recent releases include Gunfire Games' Remnant 2 from July and Heart Machine's Hyper Light Breaker for 2024. Game Developer reached out to Gearbox Publishing and Embracer to inquire about the full total of layoffs. The story will be updated when a comment is provided. And that brings us directly to Wario64, who writes on Twitter, Volition Games is closing effective immediately. And a statement from Volition says, the Volition team has proudly created world-class entertainment for fans around the globe for 30 years. We've been driven by a passion for our community and have always worked to deliver joy, surprise, and delight. This past June, Embracer Group announced a restructuring program to strengthen Embracer and maintain its position as a leader in the video game industry. As part of that program, they evaluated strategic and operational goals and made the difficult decision to close Volition effective immediately. To help our team, we are working to provide job assistance and help smooth the transition for our Volition family members. We thank our customers and fans around the world for all the love and support over the years. You will always be in our hearts. Signed, Volition Games. These stories suck. There is no getting around that any way you cut it. This is bad news. Number one, because people are losing their jobs. Number two, because we are losing storied developers like Volition Games. We're talking about the team behind Red Faction and Saints Row. And while Saints Row from last year might not have been a hit by any stretch of the imagination, these are still legendary franchises, and they will live on. We'll talk about that more in the next story. But right now, I just want to focus on the fact that Embracer Group scaled up too quickly, they acquired too much too fast, and now they're having to cut it back because they shot for the moon, and then instead of landing amongst the stars, they crashed back down to Earth very, very quickly. And it sucks that all of this is hinging on the fact that Embracer made a poor business decision and bet on a deal that wasn't 100% certain, even though it may have seemed like it was at the time they chose to make these moves, chose to scale up so quickly. And it's kind of like betting your entire future on one stock, on throwing everything on one specific entity, on betting the entire, putting all of your eggs in one basket. When you do that, you can make out in a big way and be set for life. But also, if that basket has a hole in it, like clearly Savvy Games' basket did, well, guess what? You don't have any more eggs. They're all cracked on the pavement. So, unfortunately, Volition is one of those eggs, and of course, the people from Gearbox Publishing that are affected as well. It's always a bummer to see this kind of stuff pop up. But as far as the future of Red Faction and of Saints Row, we have a story from Insider Gaming with Grant Taylor Hill writing, Saints Row isn't dying following Volition's shutdown. Days ago, it was revealed that after more than 30 years of operations, Volition and Embracer Studio had closed its doors. It was a decision made during the ongoing restructuring of Embracer, and it came after the evaluation of strategic and operational goals. In the time that followed, many fans and critics of the firm wondered alike what would be happening to Volition's games, namely the Saints Row and Red Faction franchises, as surely the closure of the studio would have drastic implications on those series. In a follow-up statement to the Volition news, Deep Silver clarified what happens next with Volition's games. They're not gone for good. Fortunately for fans of Volition's games, this is not the end of the road. It might be that Saints Row 2022 was one of the worst games to release in recent years, but it wasn't the final nail in the coffin for the series that has been in decline for more than a decade. In a very brief statement published by Deep Silver on Twitter, it was revealed that Volition's IP will live on at PlayOn, whose most recent success exists in the form of Dead Island 2, one of the best open-world zombie games to emerge in recent years. So while Volition has been sadly shut down for good, its games will still exist. They're just being created by a different developer moving forward. And here's the entire statement from Volition right here. But Deep Silver says, our thoughts go out to everyone at Volition, past and present. We're incredibly grateful for their unforgettable work on Saints Row and Red Faction, whose IPs will live on at PlayOn. And if you've wondered who PlayOn is, what is this company? I've never heard of them. This is Koch Media. They changed their name. In fact, if you go to the Read More tab, they say Koch Media is now PlayOn. So Koch Media now has control over what's going on with Red Faction and the Saints Row franchise. So tuck that in the back of your mind for a while. But as always, the most important thing here is that all of these developers that have been impacted at Volition Games, all of these people at Gearbox Publishing land on their feet. And it's good to hear that there is a program in place trying to help these developers find new positions. And I mentioned this on Project X Talk, but I've been reading Jason Schreier's Press Reset, which is a book that I recommend everybody read if you're interested in the back end of the gaming industry and how the big AAA developers can just cut entire studios, cut entire teams. Layoffs are continually impacting the game development space, and these people might have to move across the country to find a new job in the career that they want in the industry that they love. And that's the unfortunate reality of game development. And this is another example of that. There are probably going to be mentions of this in a future book from Schreier or somebody else that talks about how the video game industry works and flows. And it's just part of the business. And it's a very unfortunate part of the business. And this, in my opinion, was probably needless because of Embracer Group and how they probably bet on something that wasn't 100% certain. So it is what it is. Volition Games is gone, but I'm happy to hear that Red Faction and Saints Row are going to be living on at PlayOn, and after the success of Dead Island 2, I have to say that I'm optimistic for the future of both of these franchises, one of which I'm a huge fan of. I'm a big Red Faction guy. I've got a huge poster behind me, and I grew up playing games like Red Faction Guerrilla. So hopefully we see these games continue to thrive in the years ahead, and hopefully the developers behind these games that are being let go from Volition are also thriving for decades and decades to come. At the top of the show, we talked about Starfield reviews, but now we're digging into Redfall, coming from Arkane Studios, published by Bethesda, with Bethesda's Pete Hines saying Redfall will be a good game eventually, comparing it to Fallout 76. Interesting comparisons to make there, Pete. But Rebecca Valentine at IGN writes, Bethesda Softworks publishing head Pete Hines has reassured players that Arkane is not giving up on Redfall, despite its lukewarm reception on launch earlier this year. In fact, he's confident it will be a good game people want to play on Game Pass 10 years from now. Speaking to GI.biz, Hines answered a question about how publisher Bethesda is changing as a result of the response to Redfall by explaining that the publisher has plenty of experience with games not going the way it had hoped. Quote, we are the same company that has had launches that didn't go the way we wanted, and we don't quit or abandon stuff just because it didn't start right, he said. The Elder Scrolls Online's PC launch was not flawless, but we stuck with it. Now it's like this insanely popular multi-platform. It's the same with Fallout 76. Redfall is no different for us. Okay, we didn't get the start we wanted, but it's still a fun game, and we're going to keep working on it. We're going to do 60 FPS. We're going to get it to be a good game because we know, as a first-party studio, Game Pass lives forever. there will be people 10 years from now who are going to join Game Pass, and Redfall will be there. Earlier this year, Bethesda promised that the 30 frames per second cap Redfall would receive an update at a later time with a 60 FPS performance mode added. In June, Redfall got its first major patch that included gameplay, AI, UI, multiplayer, combat, and other incremental improvements, but was still missing the 60 FPS upgrade. No word yet on when the next patch will be or what it might entail. IGN gave Redfall a 4 out of 10 at launch, and quite frankly, probably deserves somewhere around a 5 or a 6 out of 10. 4 arguably could also be justified, but Redfall just did not hit for the majority of people. I like this mentality. I like the idea that Redfall is going to be good one day, but I want Bethesda, and I want any game developer, to have this mindset going into the release of a game. Why not just wait until the game is good? And I understand that sometimes you've just got to get stuff out the door, there are deadlines to meet, things like that, but I just wish that Redfall had landed the way that it needed to land, and deserved to land, because there is lots to love in Redfall. There is a cool world there, a cool vibe there. But unfortunately, the game itself just is not where it needs to be, even in the fall of 2023. We still haven't received that 60 FPS patch. And I gotta say, I know that I harp on this a lot, but the fact that the game came out earlier this year in May, and it is now September, and we don't have a 60 FPS patch, that's something that should have been out July at the latest. At the latest. And again, right now is not the time to put out a 60 FPS patch for Redfall, because there are so many other games that are coming out right now that if you do want it to get some kind of engagement, you've got to put it out at a time where you don't have Baldur's Gate 3, Starfield, Mortal Kombat 1, Spider-Man 2 coming out. You've got to put it out at a time whenever people are going to want to dive into something they might want to go back to. So maybe like February, March of next year could be a good time to do it. And that could be the strategy they're using right now. But I do think it's accurate that in 10 years, Game Pass is going to still bring people into Redfall and into Starfield and into any Bethesda published game. They are going to continue getting new players 10 years from now because of Game Pass, with people wanting to go back and check out the games that they might have missed from game studios like Bethesda, game studios like Arkane. You know, I could easily see in 10 years, Arkane's put out 3 or 4 other games, and then people do want to go back and see what their older games were like. Having Redfall in its best optimized state still existing in that service is going to be a big boon. So, if you were curious about how development on Redfall is going, Pete Hine says they're not giving up on it over at Bethesda quite yet. Finally, to round out today's show, if you are looking forward to a Bloodborne remaster, it still could be a couple of years away, with the newest rumor suggesting the game is coming in 2025. WCCF Tech writes, a Bloodborne remaster has got to be one of the games players all over the world have been asking for the most, but it seems like we won't be seeing one for a few more years, according to new rumors circulating online. As reported on the Gaming League subreddit, I'm Hero 2, a leaker who proved their credibility by revealing the existence of Persona 3 Reload before the official announcement and talked at length about the yet-to-be-announced Final Fantasy IX remake, recently revealed some interesting information related to Sony Interactive Entertainment's future projects and more on the Snitch's Discord server. Speaking about Bloodborne, the leak revealed that the remaster is indeed in the works and is targeting a 2025 release window, which would make sense as it would be the game's 10th anniversary. Additionally, the development of this remaster, as well as that of the rumored Horizon Zero Dawn remaster, are being headed by Nixis and not by Bluepoint Games, who's working on 2 other projects. An anime show by A1 based on From Software's action RPG may also be in the works. As the Bloodborne remaster is at least 2 years away, we are not going to see it anytime soon, not even at the next State of Play, which will be held later this month. And they've got some more details on the State of Play, but right here, we have the latest and greatest rumors about the Bloodborne remaster. Would you want to see one? I would love to know your thoughts in the comment section, or hit me up on Threads or Twitter or wherever you might spend time on social media. For me, I would love just to see a base game update. Just make Bloodborne on PlayStation 4 run better on PlayStation 5. Give us that next gen version. I don't think that it's necessarily time for a remaster. I think that one could be justified, especially in 2 years, depending on what technology is available at that point. Because right now things are changing very drastically. Unreal Engine 5 is changing the industry. There's a lot of technological leaps that are happening right now in gaming. So 2025 could bring some very huge improvements. I mean, even looking at games like Lords of the Fallen that are coming out this year, that kind of tech applied to Bloodborne could be something very, very impressive. So Bloodborne is a game that deserves all of the love that it gets. It is absolutely one of those legendary PlayStation games and one of the best Souls-like games of all time. So for it to be getting a remaster for its 10th anniversary makes a ton of sense. It will print money, and I really, really hope that it's done very well. If, and again, if it is in fact coming. But that rounds out today's episode of the Jam Pack Report. If you're new here and you enjoy the show, you like what you see or what you hear, hit that subscribe button on YouTube, add the show to your podcast feed of choice, and get it delivered right to you every single Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, because I love breaking down the gaming news from the week, and it's great to have you along for the ride. But until next time, you have a fantastic week, and as always, keep on playing.